Checkmate.
This is the Chestnut Checkers Podcast.
Checkmate.
Learn a new mindset to create wealth.
We need to be more independent thinkers, man.
Passive income.
Mathematics is precise.
A successful business.
Chess moves.
And money management strategies.
This is Chestnut Checkers.
We got a lot of things to talk about today. We're going to talk about stocks. We're going to talk a little bit about real estate. We're going to break it down for a lot of people and show some information and get you guys to understand. We're going to tell some stories. Now, crypto is not done, but we're just going to talk about what's going to happen because a lot of people are asking me that question. Now that Bitcoin dropped 10%, a lot of people are scared. A lot of people are asking a lot of questions. We're going to talk about that later. I just finished writing my book. I put the last rough draft, so I got to send it over to the editor. They're going to fix some stuff. And then hopefully we have this book out pretty soon. I got two working titles. I don't know which one I'm going to choose yet, but it's really basically seven things I've learned in my life about unconventional wealth. The book should be done in about 3 to 4 months. I just put the final touches on the rough draft, and it takes a little while. I'm also going to record an audio book. It's going to be an audio book once it's done. I'm going to translate into Spanish, so it's going to be a Spanish version also. So I'll have three versions, Spanish version, the real American version, and the audiobook. So today we're going to talk about perseverance. That's the first story we're going to tell. Then we're going to move on. We're going to talk about the stock market. Are we in a bull market? Are we in a bear market? What does that even mean? Then we're going to talk about two stocks that I think are a great buy right now. Then we're going to talk about what's called a real estate syndicate, because that's another way that we can make money in the real estate market. Then we're going to talk about a little bit of crypto, two cryptos that I think have great potential. We talked about this particular crypto in July, and it almost tripled since then. So we made a lot of money on that call. And I believe it's going to continue to go up. So we're going to talk a little bit about why I think that. We're going to talk about the other crypto that I do, or that I'm looking at. Then we're going to move on. So first, I want to tell a story. I always start with a story because even the book that I'm writing is a lot of it. It's some technical stuff in there. It's some stuff in there to tell you how to manage your money, how to look at certain deals, how to see the bigger plays and dismiss the smaller ones. But a lot of it is about mindset. So hopefully the goal of my book is after you read it to have a mindset shift. And now you see things differently. Because you see things differently, you can now make more money. You're freed. Almost like the shackles or the handcuffs have been taken off your hands and now you can see the world for what it really is. A lot of these things are going to fly in the face of a lot of things you've been taught about wealth. And there's two things in there. There's the real way people build wealth and there's the way that people tell you that they build wealth. Like, it's almost like weight loss, right? You can lose weight, but the way that they teach you to lose weight is not the same as the real way you lose weight. Sometimes it can be the same, but you got to remember, if I'm selling you a weight loss program, I want you to be on that weight loss program as far as long as possible. So I want you to lose weight slowly, a pound a week. So you stay on my Weight Watchers plan for 6-7 months. I want you to. But a lot of people that have lost weight successfully know that you can lose 4, 5, maybe 10 pounds in a week if you want to, healthy-wise. That's because they're not going to tell you how to really lose weight because they don't want you to lose it fast because it benefits them for you to lose it slow. Now, they're not saying they don't want you to lose it because they have to show their plan as success. But they also want you to do it slow. So they say, you know, it's healthy. It's unhealthy to do that, you know, because they want to keep it slow. That's the reason. Back to what I was saying. I played basketball in Puerto Rico. And it was one of the changing points in my life. And it wasn't actually playing basketball. I want to talk about the value. I want to talk about the value of defining your own success. Because this is what this is about. Now, the books, you look at Instagram, whatever, the success for a lot of people is having a Lambo and a big house, right? But it's not always true. Some people can make a lot of wealth and say, I dismiss that life. All I want to do is travel. Or I dismiss that life. I'm going to spend my time with my kids. Or I dismiss that life and all I want to do is focus on my artwork. So success is defined by you. And that's what you got to understand. I talk about that in my book too. It's defined by you. You define success and you live towards that goal, right? Could be the same success as everybody else. I'm not saying it's bad. You can want a Lambo. That's your version of success. You can want to do this. It's your version of success. So this story is a story about how I define my success. Now, I played basketball in Puerto Rico, and I played for a short while. What happened is after college, I was at a pro-am camp, a pro-am tournament in Phoenix. A scout saw me, told me, hey, come out to Puerto Rico and try out for the teams. You know, I'm Puerto Rican nationality. I can go out to try out for the team because I'm a citizen there. So I play basketball in Puerto Rico. I do well in the pre-draft camp that was in Salinas, Puerto Rico. I get selected as the top power forward in the whole camp. Remember, there was like 400 or 500 people there from all over the world. I got selected as the best power forward in the whole camp. So I start getting a big head. I must be real good. And then they said, well, after the camp, we get the drafts coming up in 2 weeks, so you have to try out with some teams. I said, well, I'm the best power coach. So now you got to work out with teams, right, to see if they like you for a week or so. All right. So two teams were deciding on me, so I went to one team, right? So I get there, and that team actually ended up picking me. But I get there, and the first time I'm playing, I realize I was in over my head. All these players were a lot better than me. They was a lot stronger than me. I realized that camp that I was at was just average people. They were good ex-college players, whatever, but they wasn't like these people. These dudes on this team, it was the best team in Puerto Rico at the time, the Cangrejeros. And the four of the players on the team played for the Olympic team. So it wasn't no joke, and all of a sudden I jump up to the big leagues, right? So I can't get a shot off. I'm breathing hard and all this stuff. I can't get kidney rebounds. And I realized, God dang, man, these dudes are way better than me. So I started to notice something during that time. I noticed that people didn't think I belonged there either. So they started treating me bad, like I didn't belong there. Started, you know, pushing me to the ground, you know, because back then, if you see my pictures a long time ago, I was real skinny. I was like 210. You know, back then, you know, 6'6", 210, 208, I was skinny. So they pushed me down. They would, you know, take the ball from me. I hadn't built up my strength yet. They would on purpose do hard fouls because they didn't want me to be there. At first, it hurt me because I was getting hit and hurt. And I go home feeling bad. And I told myself, I've never given up. Never, never. I don't care what they do. I don't care how many times I go on the ground. I don't care how bad I'm hurt. I'm coming back the next day. I kept coming back. They ended up selecting me with that draft pick. I got better and better over time. But the key to the story is I kept coming back. I kept coming back. And at the point that I decided I was not going to give up, all of a sudden those hard fouls, the mean looks they gave me, all that stuff didn't matter because I already knew what the goal was. I'm not giving up no matter what. I don't care. It almost every time you foul me now, it may hurt a little bit inside physically, but mentally I'm smiling. I'm laughing at what you throw at me because I know no matter what you do, you're actually adding fuel to the fire. You're helping me grow. You're moving me forward. You're giving me the motivation to keep coming back. So after a while, I do this for a while. Over time, a lot of the players started actually like respecting me because if you do that, I promise you people start respecting me. But there was one player that didn't. And he just was the last holdout. He would not respect me. And over time, I remember one play in particular that when he started respecting me, right, is that I remember he used to always come at me, say little jokes, whatever. One time, he was coming out of court. He was a 2. I was shooting guard. I was a 3-4. So I never really guarded him that much. But one time, a switch came, and I had to guard him on a play. So he came at me and tried to beat me one time. But this time, I said, nah, I ain't letting him beat me. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to give everything I got to stop this dude. So he beat me off the dribble, go to the goal, but I hustle behind him and block him from behind. Boom. Off it. They get the rebound, though. The team gets the rebound. He goes back out to the outside, to the top of the key. They pass it back to him. He resets the play, tries to blow by me again, but this time I ain't letting him go by. He hits me with a shoulder right in the side. Boom. It hits me hard, but I laugh. Like, I don't care what you do. You're not going to beat me this time. So then he comes at me again. He can't get by me because I'm coming at him hard. So now he starts getting frustrated. He tries to pull a jump shot. I hit the ball before he hit the jump shot. Still, I go down the court, lay it up. Boom. And I come back, and a funny thing happened. Everybody on the side were cheering for me because the people want to see that. When you show that perseverance, when you show that grit, that determination, people will start to help you. When they see you not going to give up, they'll help you. They'll start respecting you, and that respect will bring you success. So after that play, that one play, we go through practice. After the play, he comes up to me, shakes his hand, said, good game, man. Good practice, man. Shakes my hand, good practice. But that moment was a big moment for me. Now, to somebody else, that may not mean nothing. He just said, good practice. I still wasn't playing. I still wasn't a very good player. The rest of that season, I barely played. But my success was proving that I belonged. I didn't play much. I wasn't a superstar. I didn't make the all-star team. I wasn't the one on TV talking. But I proved that I belonged. And that was my success. And every day, I still think about that almost every day. I still think about that experience because it helped me so much in life. I can prove that I belonged. And I was supposed to be there, regardless of what you think, for the rest of my life. I don't care what you do to me in basketball, business, investing, or whatever. I'm going to come back at you 10 times. I may hit the ground, but I promise you I'm going to get back up. And that taught me the power of perseverance. So let's move on. Now, you want to talk a little bit about stocks. A lot of people keep asking me, are we in a bull market? What's going on with the stock market? So it was a little bit today. It was a little bit down. It was down yesterday. So a lot of analysts thought that we were in a slight bull market coming out of a bear market. But it may not be as straightforward right now because a lot of things happen. Inflation, a lot of this stuff may be keeping the stock market down. But I promise you we're going to come out of this. And that's the thing about it is that the people who are able to see far ahead and understand what's coming, understand the market cycles, the four market cycles, they're the ones that's going to make a lot of money. And every time the market drops, every time there's a big drop in any market, that's when the millionaires are made. That's why we have to watch the market closely. A lot of times, you don't even have to be that good. You just got to keep coming back, right? Showing up. And they say showing up is most of it, and I promise you it is. You keep showing up no matter what. Keep showing up no matter who hates you. Keep showing up no matter how ashamed or whatever you are. Just keep showing up. And I've known tens of people who have had great success from just showing up and didn't even do much else. But I promise you they're going to be there every day. I promise you they're not going to stop. I promise you they're going to keep going after their goals. And I've seen people more successful in that fashion than somebody who was very talented and kept pushing their talent. I've seen people who kept going no matter what end up with success in more cases. Now, perseverance is something people don't want to do. It's easier for me to work hard in front of my computer than keep getting rejected 10 times. A lot of people are afraid of rejection. So I want to talk about these two stocks. Now, you guys know I kind of focus on tech stocks, even though I look at the whole stock market, and make decisions on the whole stock market, but my specialty is tech stocks. So I focus a lot on tech stocks, and that's where I made a lot of my money in the market, even over the pandemic, even in the bull market before. I made a lot of money by knowing where tech stocks were going because that's my background. I was a software engineer, so I used that. And I encourage you guys, if you have a specialty, if you're in medical field or you're in a construction field or you're in whatever, you can use those skills to understand industries better and make better stock decisions. Now, I focus on tech happens to be one of the hottest sectors. So because of that, I make a lot of money. But I encourage you guys to take what you do and take what you understand, look more into that. Because you can see what's coming. You know what's coming. You know what's happening in the market. You have almost insider knowledge. So there was a few stock splits. There's one coming up. Tesla has a stock split coming up this week on Wednesday, I believe. And they're going to split. So up into that split, we got to watch it. So and also, there's two stocks that have already split. And one's Amazon and one's Google. Now, they're a little bit down because the market's down. But I promise you, with enough time, these stocks are going to come back. And I'm going to tell you two reasons why. Amazon is doing extremely well with the AWS. They're expanding rapidly, even in this downtick in the market. So once this downtick is over, all that extra value that's really supposed to be in Amazon is going to come back. And Amazon is going to make a lot of people a lot of money over the next 3 to 5 years. The second one is Alphabet or Google. Google just launched a brand new video streaming circuit web marketplace on YouTube. A lot of people don't know this because it's kind of been under the radar, but I want you guys to research it, do your due diligence. But Google just launched a huge, huge deal. They just launched a brand new streaming service on YouTube. And that's huge for the streaming service. It can be a great competitor to Spotify, all the major ones. And they have the money to reach in the industry to do it. Because of that, I think Google is going to be a strong, strong player in the streaming industry over the next 3 to 5 years. Now, it's going to add significant money to their bottom line. It's going to increase their stock price over the next few years. That's going to increase the demand for that stock. It's going to increase a lot of demand for Google services because you know how Google is they integrate everything. Once you get in their streaming service, they bring you into the ecosystem and sell you a lot more of the products. But because of this, they're going to grow significantly from this deal. Now, I encourage you guys to take a look at it. It's a huge, huge thing. And I know a lot of people haven't heard about it, but it's actually in the technology, in the world of technology, in the world of streaming, it's a huge, huge move into a very profitable industry. Now, I want to talk about this concept. I want to talk about real estate, and we're talking about a concept in real estate, which is very important for us to learn. Now, There's a lot of people saying real estate could fall, right? Now, you guys know I'm moving into real estate right now in New York, Puerto Rico, and Florida, where I live currently. I'm actively buying properties in those three areas. People say, how do you know it's not too expensive? How do you know everything's not? Now, when I bought two properties last year, one in February and one in October. During that time, they said the same thing. All the prices are overpriced. Now, I bought a condo. I paid cash for it, $180,000. Now, it's worth almost $300,000 within a year and a half. The other one I bought, and I put $300,000 down on it, and then since October of last year, about a month, it's went up $600,000 in value. Now, at that time, they said the same thing. Because I don't understand this market 100% yet, I'm getting close. Because I've been in it for like 2 years. I'm getting close. But I don't want to play the waiting game. I don't know when to get in. I'm going to try to time the market. Because time in the market, in real estate, even more so important, is better than timing the market. You don't know what's going to happen with real estate. It can go up, down, left. But I know in 10 years from now, every property I buy today is going to be worth more than it is right now. I don't know if it's until next year. It can go down next year. It can go up next year. I don't know. But I know you give me 10, 15 years, I promise you, every one of these properties I buy over the next 2 years will go up in value. Those are my long-term goals. And when you have financial decisions, when you make financial goals, some have to be short-term. I'm just going to trade this stock for today sometimes. Some of them got to be long-term. This is 15 years. I'm 40 now. When I'm 55, I'm going to cash this stuff out. And along the way, I'm going to make the money on the rents. So that's what's most important, and that's what I'm doing. If I find a good deal, I'll buy it right now. I may buy it tomorrow, buy it next year, because first of all, I'm averaging in because it's been over 2 years I'm buying in. Secondly is that I know I'm on for 15 years. It don't matter what the price is today because I'm going to make rents along the way. Then I'm also going to pay us cash out at the end. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But then I got those houses, that real estate property to leverage for more loans for deuce other stuff in the future. So regardless, it's always a good play to get into real estate, regardless of what the market is at the time, to be honest, if you're playing it long term. Now, if I'm leveraging, you know, I got six properties using adjustable rate loans, hoping that's very dangerous. And renting them out and stuff, that's very dangerous. But now if I buy it with a regular conventional loan, I put the right amount down or pay it off in cash, there's no risk in that really. But all over the long term, it's going to be a big payoff. So I want to talk a little bit about what's called real estate syndicates, because I get a lot of questions like, what's a real estate syndicate? What's a real estate investment trust? What are all these things? I do own some real estate investment trusts through a company called Fundrise, and I've talked about that before. Now, when I get into real estate, most people think what I have to do is I have to buy a house or duplex or something to get into this stuff. And most people only think about what's called a residential property. I buy a house, rent out to somebody else. The biggest gains come in commercial. And the bigger the property is, the more money you can get back on it. But a lot of people don't have access to those. So they say, well, how can I get access, or what they call exposure, to these larger projects? I can't afford a skyscraper. How am I going to get into it? I want to make money off this skyscraper they're building. Well, there's two ways you can do it. One's called a real estate investment trust, and one's called a real estate syndicate. Real estate investment trust is a difference between the two. A real estate investment trust is, I'm giving a very high level. A real estate investment trust is a company that manages different real estate properties. And you're basically investing in the company. Now, the company has certain rules. They can only spend so much money doing this, so much money doing that. They have to follow certain regulations. But most of you're investing in the management group that's going to manage these properties. As profit comes away from those properties, the people in the management group get paid and you get some of what's left over to profit. Because these people are more efficient, more effective at managing real estate properties, they can make just as much money, or sometimes more money, than if you manage one particular product, real estate property on your own. So that's a real estate investment trust. You're investing in a group of people who's going to make this real estate investment, the multiple investment deals. Now, what if you say, I don't want to invest in multiple deals. I may only want to do one deal. I want to invest in a skyscraper. That's it. I don't want to do nothing else. Now, that's what something called a real estate syndicate comes in. A real estate syndicate is very effective when it comes. It's a passive way. Passive investment. We know that's one of the best ways to make money. Passive income. These two ways are passive because if I own a property, remember, I have to do work. The only way I don't have to do work if I outsource management to a property management company. You don't have to do work. But if I'm managing a property, I got to do work. I got to show up. People got to get on the phone. All this is work, and you got to see it as work, because work is, your time is important. It's not a truly passive income unless you're not doing nothing or very, very little work. If I buy a property and I'm the one that going over there fixing stuff, I'm the one that's cutting the grass, I'm the one that's taking the calls, it's not a passive income stream. Now, it's very low work, but it's not passive. Passive is not me not doing nothing or very, very little work. So real estate investment trusts and real estate syndicates are completely passive. You give them the money and you walk off. You don't even have to know what's going on. So I like to increase my real estate exposure with a mix of real property, real estate investment trusts, and now I'm looking into real estate syndicates. I don't have any of those yet, but I'm looking into it. And that allows you to get into, like, let's say, for example, a singular real estate deal, like a skyscraper, buy a part of it, and now you're a part of this one deal, one project. Now, the people still take care of the maintenance. They still ran the project. They still do all this stuff. And as you get profits, whenever the business goes black or start making profit, they start sending you dividend checks. So either way is good. The only problem with real estate syndicates is you got to be an accredited investor to get involved. Real estate investment trust, you don't really have to in most cases. So they do give you access to buy properties you can never afford on your own. You can diversify your portfolio. You can participate in the long-term upside, too, if they sell the property or whatever happens. And you can earn passive income completely. Let's move on. So I want to talk a little bit about crypto. These two coins that I think are going to do extremely well over the next few months. One you probably already know. Another one you probably already know. But I'm just going to talk about them again because they both continue to have a lot of potential. Another thing I talk about in my book is actually got a whole chapter on it. It's called Creating Circles of Winners. And we talk about that often on this channel, is that you gotta create circles of winners. So what that means is that you create you in your life. We all know the cliche, people say it all the time. You are the average of the five people that are around you. That's, look around your people, the five most people you interact with. That's who you are. Believe it or not, look in the mirror. You're a reflection of those five people. Probably financially, probably morality-wise, probably everything that you do in life is probably a reflection of it. So because of this, sometimes you have to create your own. So people say, you know, I want to get around people that are making money. I want to get around successful people, but I don't know where to find them. Every time I try, you know, they don't let me in the country clubs. They don't let me in here. How am I going to find them? Well, you can create them by bringing friends and family into your circle, by sharing stuff like this, by sending them articles, getting them on education, buying them books, getting you. Now, you may do this to 10 people, and only one actually comes over with you. But that one is so valuable that it's worth the other nine not doing it. And that's how you create circles. You get people interested. Now you got two people thinking ahead. You got two people that are looking for deals. You got two people that are educating and motivating each other, telling each other, checking each other. You're trying to buy a car you can't afford. The other dude may say, look, man, you sure you can afford that car? That kind of collaboration helps you a lot. Like the Bible says, a sword sharpens a sword. Iron sharpens iron. And now your two can go out and look for more people. Now you got four. Now you got eight. Now you got 16. All people moving together like a caterpillar. If you look at a caterpillar's legs, they all move in the same direction. Now imagine if all those legs moved in different directions. The caterpillar would just be spinning in circles. The caterpillar gets its speed and its power because all those thousand legs or whatever, centipede, so those 100 legs, they move in one direction, all towards a singular goal. That's why, that's the only way it can move forward. If every leg was independent, it couldn't move anywhere. It's too many legs, too many goals. So that's what we do when we create a circle of winners. So what I want to do is I want to talk a little bit about crypto. There's two cryptos out there. One, obviously, is XRP. We'll talk about that later. But it's one I want to talk a little bit about more that we talked about in July, right? And it's called BRIS. It's the Bitgert system. It's called BRIS. B-R-I-S-E, BRIS. So we talked about this in July. We talked about what a big deal it was going to be. Since then, it's almost tripled in value. A lot of people have made a lot of money. So I want to talk about bras. Now, bras, like I said, is I'm starting to believe, because other analysts have said it, but I've looked at their analysis and their arguments, is that it's, a lot of people are saying bras may surpass Ethereum one day. Now, I'm a strong believer in Ethereum, so I don't know about that. But I can see a lot of potential in this coin. And the reason is because, for one, it has extremely fast speeds. For two, it's been around only 12 months and it's already got this high. 12 months. Now, if we go back to Ethereum, 12 months in, nobody even knew what Ethereum was. At 12 months after Ethereum got listed, it was probably at about $12, $13. Ethereum started its life at 30 cents, 31 cents. In a year, it was at like $12, $13. Now, it had a jump and it went back down, but it was at about $12 that year. Bras has moved faster than almost any crypto that I've seen. And I'm not talking about just in price. I'm talking about technology-wise. They've hit their roadmap goals faster than I ever would have thought. They've also increased the efficiency of their technology faster than I've seen any other coin. And they've also grown their value fast enough. I've seen a lot of coins. Now, whenever things like this start to line up, it's all pointing to one thing, that this price may explode. Now, it may not. I don't know if it will or not. But it gets to the point that it becomes a risk versus reward play. Is that you start thinking, well, if Bras does blow up, I'm going to make 100 times my money over the next few years. If it doesn't, I'll lose one time my money. Well, that may be a good deal. We may be in crypto, but in 2024, we're going to be out of it. I almost guaranteed, I promise you, because the halving of Bitcoin happens in March of 2024. And after that happens, it's going to be another bull run. It happens every 4 years since I've been in Bitcoin. Every 4 years it happens, and it's going to happen again. And everybody's going to be shocked. Oh, my God, what happened to Bitcoin? It came out of nowhere. I've been saying it, and everybody knows it. The halving always triggers another bull run. And it's not going to be immediately after. So everybody, well, it's going to be months after. So if it hits in March, it may be the end of the summer where you start seeing the growth. So the Big Gerd founder actually came out last week and said that BRAS is going to pass Ethereum and XRP. But the thing about it is, founders always say this, so I don't really take that to heart too much. But the projections on this is that BitGerd chain can grow to those lengths because of the extreme speed of the network and the zero gas. There's no fees to use BitGerd. There's fees to use Bitcoin, sometimes extreme fees. There's fees to use Ethereum, sometimes a lot. It's called gas. But there's no fees for BitGerd. So it's 12 months old. It's achieved a lot in that short period of time. And the team also have a marketplace that Ethereum and Bitcoin don't have. BitGerd has a marketplace that they're coming out with. Now, where you can buy certain things, you could buy certain components and stuff like that in that marketplace. Now, that's a big deal, too. And they also have what's called a startup studio program, which they're encouraging, or in some cases, funding projects to develop on what's called that BRC20 blockchain. So if that happens, the demand for BRAS tokens are going to increase tremendously, and it's going to be a lot of profit to be made. Like I said, it's a risk versus a reward play. And like people say, where to buy Pancake Swap in New York, Bitmart, KuCoin, and LA Token, you can buy. Now, people say, it's hard to buy right now. I don't know how to use those. The PancakeSwap is complicated. How am I going to do it? Now, when I first bought Ethereum, it was extremely complicated. When I first bought Bitcoin, I told you guys the story. The first Bitcoin I ever bought, I had to meet a dude at the dog track, and he would be playing poker, Texas Hold'em. And he would sell me the Bitcoin in between hands because there was nowhere else to buy in 2011. You had to know a dude to know the dude. I'd meet him, and we both have our Bitcoin wallets out on our phones. All right, man, I'm going to pay you $500. He'd take the $500. He'd send me the Bitcoin minus his fee. Or, okay, I got it, man. Appreciate it. And walk off. And back then, you could do that because nobody knew what you was doing. It was such a geeky thing to buy and sell Bitcoin. Nobody would know what it was to rob you or nothing. That's how I used to buy it first. But that's why I got in so early. That's how I made so much money. Because when it's difficult to get into, that's when it keeps 95% of the market out, 95% of the population out. That's when you make the most money. And that's true for most investments. XRP is another one I'm still strongly for. The price has rose over the summer, but once we got into this short bear market, it's kind of dropped a little bit. They announced that they're official World Economic Forum power. They released a service in Brazil, which are a partnership in Brazil, where they will allow people in Mexico and Brazil to send payments or money from Mexico to Brazil and back and vice versa, using Ripple as an intermediary. They've already done that deal. The executives of Ripple, which are in control of XRP, were in Japan last week talking to some mayors in Japan about possibly using the token over there. And the thing I also want to talk about is that over the last 3 months, whales, which are large people who own a lot of XRP, are accumulating. They can see that happening, you know, by data, looking at the blockchain, see how many transactions happen. They can see that a lot of whales are buying the coin right now. Now, I'm a big believer in follow the big money, because the big money knows more than we'll ever know. Now, when you see these big money moving, this big money moving in and out of a coin or in and out of a stock market, or in and out of any market, you know that they know something you don't know. Now, they get information before we get it. So they always know something before it happens. So I believe that's a positive sign that the lawsuit is close to becoming resolved. And I'm pretty sure XRP is going to come out of it positive.
Thank you for joining today's podcast. I really appreciate your support. If you want more wealth building information, education, and tips in stock market, crypto, and other assets such as real estate, follow me on Instagram. And also on YouTube, it's the same name, Tall Guy Tycoon. That's TallGuyTycoon. The link is also in the description. Also, you can support this podcast by donations. That link is also in the description. I hope each and every one of you has a great week. And again, thanks for listening.